Thank you, Pastor Milo, for inviting me here in the church to share my testimony. So as you heard from him, my name is Obangirma Otho, from southwestern part of Ethiopia, from a tribe called Anyuak. You know, in Ethiopia, there are more than 80 ethnic groups, so I'm one of them. So in the year 2005, the government of 2004, December 13, the government of Ethiopia committed genocide on our people, and then I fled the country into Kenya and settled there in the year 2005. So it was a Lutheran church gospel minister who came to the refugee camps and ministered to us there, and I was convicted. Praise the Lord. Because I fled the country when I was 19. Yeah, I was very young because the government was targeting men, the young ones, who are male, not females. So I left my mother there, and my father was also killed in that incident. Someone has strangled him to the rivers, and I cannot find him. And after 3 days, he was found near the river. So this is all the story that brought me to the refugee camps. And a refugee camp, for many people, it is regarded as a safe place. But the life in the refugee camp is more dangerous because it is a new place. It is not the same as your home country. And northeastern part of Kenya, where I lived as refugees, is a hostile environment because that refugee camp is 98% Muslims, refugees. So Christians are only 2%. And it is very hard to worship God in that situation. But I thank God for Reverend Isaiah Obare, who take the risk in the name of Jesus and come and minister to the refugee camps and win some souls to Christ. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for him. And so I married in the year 2010. And then by the year 2011, God has blessed us with a baby girl. And they are not here today, my wife and my daughter, because they are not. My wife is not feeling well, so I left her behind. So in the year 2013, UNHCR, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, went through my file and decided to resettle me here. Yes, they have collaborated with the Australian government for me to be resettled in Australia. And this year, by the grace of God, my visa is approved. So I arrived here in the 28th of October. So Australians are friendly, and I like the way they welcome people, the way they serve people. So this is a kind of opportunity that God allowed me to be in. I know the safe place is found in Christ, but those who believe in Christ, you know, they also share the love of Christ with others. That's why I'm among you today. I feel at home. And I also thank those who offer assistance for me, because I could not make it every now and then to the church, but there are those who are behind my coming to the church because I don't have license and I don't have a car. Yeah. But I thank God for those who offer a special assistance for me. So back then my parents are not, they did not know God. It is only me. I'm the first person who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal savior. So everything's now are beginning with me here. It is my prayer that some of our family members will come to Christ also and accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior. So I decided to study the word of God for myself when I realized that God is taking care of me while I didn't know. Maybe God has purpose of Yes, bringing me to the refugee camps, because God has his own ways of doing things. God may use hard situations to get your attention so that you can be in line of what he wants for you. So I did not blame God for all that happened in Ethiopia, but God used that kind of hardships to bring me to him. So he's worthy of praise now. So I made a decision to not only to follow Christ, but to study the Word of God. So by the grace of God now, in the first 3 months in Australia, I went on to check on Firth Bible College, and I'm accepted. I'm now on campus. Praise the Lord. Yes, that is, I can say it is by miracle, but it is by the will of God. Because they didn't know me, how can they accept me in Bible College and they don't know my background? But I have taken small, short courses, Bible courses in Kenya. And when I check on Firth Bible College and they have tested my skill, they decided just to allow me on campus to start my diploma in ministry this year. Yes, because we are already in 2017. I cannot say next year. So I'm going to start my course in this past semester of 2017. I want to be a minister of the gospel. I'm on give back missions. I want to give back what is given of me. Praise the Lord. So this is my story, and may God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, stay there. So I'll have about 10 questions, and then I'll ask other.
Okay, I'm ready for questions.
So your family, nobody was a Christian?
Nobody's.
What they were of native religions, or Muslims or something?
They are not Muslims. In southwestern Ethiopia, 95% are Christians.
Uh-huh.
But it is only that my family has not yet reached to.
Ah, no religion. So.
No religion. They are still believing in traditional God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They are not Muslim. They are.
So as you were growing up, you never heard the gospel?
I see people going to the church,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know exactly what it means,
mm-hmm.
what the churches mean, what the churches stand for. We would go to the church and witness the Christmas drama,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and people are laughing, and we would go back home, but not knowing the exact meaning of the gospel.
So God had to pick you up from that environment and put you into refugee camp to get your attention.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. So get him, if God needs your attention, probably we should listen so that we don't have to go through stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you are enrolled in the Bible course, and you want to go back to the refugee camp and serve there as a missionary.
Yes. Not only to the refugee camps, but to the whole world, wherever God leads me to.
Isn't that amazing? So if we pray for our brother, that's probably should be the prayers. See, he didn't come to Australia to have a comfortable life. He has come to be equipped so that he can serve better. And going back to whatever environment, whatever situations, whatever price to be paid. And I think this is something that's hard to follow. Because we live our comfortable lives and we love them. And it's good and enjoy it. It's a lovely country, and it's everything is easy here. Yeah, but to hear the testimony that he has come here for a little period of time just to get trained so that he can go and serve better. Wow. Oh, questions?
Any questions? Yes. My wife's also Anuak as me.
Same tribe.
We speak the same language, same tribe.
Refugee camp.
Yes, I married her in the refugee camps because by then she was living with her sister, elder sister. She's under care of her sister. Mm-hmm. And that's where I married her.
So you had a wedding and everything in a refugee camp? And
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anything else? Yes, Rick.
And why is it that you speak English so well?
Okay. Yeah, Kenya is a British colony.
Mm-hmm.
So they speak English as the official language. And for me, as a teenager, to get a job, I have to study English.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an organization called Windel Trust. It's a Canadian non-governmental organization that offer English trainings for refugees so that they can be able to access job for themselves. Because UNHCR services are very limited to all refugees. So they have to train people. So when they are equipped with communication skills, they will find a job for themselves because Kenya speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I learn English. Mm-hmm. But for my wife, I gave her a chance to learn, but everything depends on individuals.
She will learn, yeah.
Yes, but she's still trying. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And we thank God that we are in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Who speak the same English language,
mm-hmm.
I know she will learn mm-hmm. in TEF.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, so your father died, he was murdered, and your mother is still alive?
Yes, my mother is still alive. She's an elderly woman, mm-hmm. now is still in Ethiopia.
And anybody else living with her, or is she by herself?
She's living by herself. All other siblings of mine are grown up.
Mm-hmm.
So she's now living with her younger child who is 14 years
mm-hmm.
yeah, by herself.
So how many children, how many siblings do you have?
We are six in number.
Six, uh-huh.
Yes. Me and my elder sister, two of us in the refugee camps. I left one of my sister in the camps.
Mm-hmm.
But other four are still there, still in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. So somebody is looking after her, she says somebody with her. Yeah.
Maybe. We're still to find out where my mother is because I don't know where she is exactly.
Are you in contact or can you contact her? Or
I'm still finding out where she is from other people I know in uh-huh. Ethiopia. Where she is exactly, what is going on with them. Oh, yeah. Whether all of them are still alive. And
you don't know.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were in contact with your mother?
When I was in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
I talked to them because they would go to Red Cross and send letters
uh-huh.
to the refugee camps. Okay. And sometimes they ring from there
mm-hmm.
and report their situation to us.
Mm-hmm. So it's another situation that not knowing what's. We can call our parents. I Skyped my dad last night. You know, yeah, we see them. We communicate anytime. But yeah, for them, not even knowing where she is, it's yeah. Mm. And there are other members of the family either. So yeah, not an easy situation. Mm. Yes. Does your mother know that you are here?
When I got a resettlement program, I told them. Because when I was at the camp, they would send letters through Red Cross. And I told them that I got a chance of resettlement to Australia.
Mm, so she might expect that you are
yes.
that you are successful.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
She probably would be happy about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
That you are safe. Yeah. Mm. All right. How many people are in a refugee camp?
There are more because in northeastern part of Kenya, where the Dadaab refugee camp is located, it's border to Somalia. And Somalia is not stable since 1991. And thousands of people, I cannot estimate, because they would come in every now and then, because the so-called Al-Shabaab, like Islamic group in Syria, is operating over there.
Yeah.
So a lot of Somalis are in the refugee camps. And Dadaab is regarded as the world's largest refugee camps before Syria, before war in Syria happens. So it would probably a lot of refugees. Because not only refugees from Somalia, but refugees from Ethiopia, in Congo, and South Sudan. Yes. Because the whole country of East Africa are congregating in Dadaab refugee camps, which is the largest. There are two main refugee camps in Kenya, Dadaab and Kakuma. Kakuma is located in northern part of Kenya.
So, but there are tens of thousands of people there.
Yes, tens of thousands of people. And for those who are able to Google it, you can Google Dadaab and you will find the exact populations. You will find it on Google.
Okay. Yes, Chris?
That is a very important question. Yeah, life, the Christian life in Dadaab refugee camp is not easy. As I told you before that 98% are Muslims, it is not easy for Christian community to survive in such conditions. We have tried as much as possible to spread the Gospels. And we managed to get 15 churches in Dadaab. And there is also a threat to that. Last year, 2015, we experienced one of the church. We found a grenade in the church, but it did not explode. Police was called and removed it safely. In another church in 2014, also experienced the burnout. Muslim brothers, they come and put light on
to burn it down.
Yes, but the church did not burn completely because it is noticed immediately, and people come to put the fire off. So that is the kind of condition Christians are into. It is not easy.
Okay. Yes, Jess?
You mentioned that you were brought to the gospel was brought to your attention by a Lutheran missionary.
Yes. Okay, I personally was winned by a Lutheran gospel minister, but in the refugee camps there are others, other denominations, pastors who would come over and minister and go back. And they have joined a coalition in the year 2012, a coalition of gospel ministers who would come
and
support the Christian community by training local pastors and church leaders, and also by providing food, because the food that World Food Program supplies is very limited. So sometimes they would organize something and send a truck or two trucks loaded with food items for the Christian community, because that is what has been practiced by the Muslim community. They would come over from all the world and give food only to a Muslim community. But our Christian brothers who are generous enough decided to come on board in the year 2012. But this has been practiced by Muslim followers.
Okay. Speak.
In terms of language, I already reported her to TEF in the city, where they train migrants, new migrants, to cope with life here in Australia. So she will start her English class once the school is opened. And now there are people who are our neighbors in campus, there in Karina, in Perth Bible College, who would come over and interact with her, and sometimes she can be challenged to speak two or three words mm-hmm. in English. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would encourage many people to come over and just journey with her so that she can feel like she belongs somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. You reach your wife when she comes here.
Yeah.
You shake her by her hand, you look at her.
Mm-hmm.
You just smile. Is she expecting much more than just that? If there's an early stage. You know what I'm getting at? Then we communicate without embarrassing
her. Yeah. I think for her it is a little bit intimidating to come over and sit down, but she accepted that because through such a challenge, that is where she will also grow. Yeah, she can understand a little bit English, but to respond in English, it is more difficult for her.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, she will learn, and it is something that she accepts to expose herself to many groups. She's willing to go to any group and interact in terms of fellowships. Yes, she's willing to do that. Yes,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
One more question. Just feel free to ask any questions.
Yeah. Well, good.
You mentioned the Lutherans, the Christians bringing food in for Christians, the Muslims bringing food in for Muslims, but generally is the United Nations or Red Cross bringing food and sanitation and other things in? I mean, it must be pretty bad, one way or the other, just waiting for food and
Okay. Yeah, in regard to services in the refugee camps, apart from UNHCR, there are others, NGOs, who are operating in the refugee camps. There is a particular NGO who is operating for sanitation purposes, for health and education, and food is handled by the World Food Programs. There are those available services, but due to lack of funding, because we experience conflicts all over the world today, those NGOs are lacking funding. That's why the religious groups like Muslim community and Christian communities are supporting indirectly, not directly. They are not allowed to do that, but on a special occasion, especially during Christmas time, and for Muslim during Ramadan, not regularly, but occasionally. And we need to pray for such a condition to just to improve, to change, because many people are losing their faith in the refugee camp because the situation there is very tough.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. UN has hired school teachers from Kenya, Kenyan, and also from refugee community. Those who have skill to teach, they are also invited to just submit their applications to the NGOs who is handling the education system. And there is a school up to year 12, and beyond that, there is no college training unless the child perform well. There are those NGOs who would sponsor a scholarship to abroad sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But it is tough competitions among the refugees' children. Yeah. But the education is limited up to year 12 only.
12, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the movement is very much restricted in the camp. You cannot go out beyond the refugee camps.
Mm.
So if you are going to another suburb in Kenya, you have to consult with authority so that they can give you a letter, a movement pass, to show to the police checkpoint so that they can identify.
Because it is like a big prison.
Yes. The movement is very much restricted. You cannot go away from the camp unless you are permitted by the authority. We live in the tent, and then there are those who live in high-on seats. We make bricks from the mud and then shelter it with iron seats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two kind of housing. So there are tents. And come again?
Did you live in a tent the whole? Yeah.
Yeah. For the first time, I lived in the tents, but as I took long in the camp, I decided to improve my house by making bricks by myself. Once you finish your house of bricks from mud, you will report it to the department who is concerned of roofing.
Mm-hmm. So you build the walls and they bring the roof, yeah?
Yeah, and roof it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you made the bricks yourself?
Yourself. Mm-hmm. But they can only supply iron sheet, timbers, and nails.
Builder Obank, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
All right. The last.
What are your needs right now? What sort of things do you need right now that will help you at the Bible College?
Okay. Okay. My need right now in the Bible College is that, one, I'm not working. So I need, I'm limited in terms of resources. Because once I arrived in Australia, I straight away went to Bible College for study. So my sister in the refugee camps might have the mindset that I will support her. And my family might think that, oh, our son went to Western World, he might support us.
He will be rich now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is my challenge, because they think differently, and what I'm doing here is different.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. So that is my challenge now on campus.
You are in a rich West and you are not rich yet.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
But you are still committed to support your sister.
Yes. I'm still committed to support her, because I know I've been there for 11 years and she's still there and going forward with the life.
Mm.
And she has two children, a husband. Her husband is on a disability.
Mm.
Mm. One of his leg, his arm is broken, mm-hmm. and they need my support. Mm.
Tough.
Yes, they have printed out a page last week for me, for references book, and I'm yet to buy that. Mm-hmm. I am yet to buy those books.
Mm-hmm. What would be the cost of that?
Okay, maybe I will bring that paper to the pastor. Yeah.
Maybe we can do that. Yeah.
I will bring the paper.
That little things, yeah, probably that, yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Thank you. And I thought we will accept them as full members of Concordia on this Sunday, but I think because the wife and child, they are not here, so we'll wait until when they are here, all of them, it will be probably more proper and nicer. So we'll do that whenever you will be together with your whole family. But we'll just pray for you now, and thank you for sharing your life story with us. So, yes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious brother and his family, Lord. We thank you for your hand upon him. And Lord, yes, as he said, you have chosen him. Before he knew you, you knew him, and you had planned for his life. And you have chosen this man to be a blessing, not just to us, but Lord, we believe to hundreds and maybe thousands in the future, Lord, that he has this desire to go back and serve and share the gospel, the good news with many others, Lord, who still don't know you. So, Lord, we just marvel of your amazing grace and your plans, Lord, that are beyond our understanding, and we still can't even dream what you might do through one man who's obedient to you. But we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen Obang, and during this time and season of his life in Australia, we pray for his studies at Perth Bible College, Lord, that you would help him with education, with absorbing not just knowledge, but receiving more and more revelation from you and direction and clarity of what your plans are for his life, Lord, that you might mightily use him for your glory, Lord, for the kingdom, for the purpose of your kingdom, wherever you will lead him, Lord. We pray for the provisions, Lord. We pray for his wife's language skills, Lord, and we pray for the education for the daughter, Lord. And we know, Lord, we declare that your goodness over them, Lord. You brought them to this land not just to entertain and have some easy lifestyle, but to be sharpened as tools in your hand so that you can achieve much more even that we dream or they dream, Lord. So we thank you for this blessing. We declare again your kingdom over him, Lord, and let your name be glorified in everything he is and he does, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.